Hey everybody, this is Pearls and Swine, an Evangel Community Church podcast. It is great to be hanging out with you all this week. I hope you're as excited as I am because things are a little bit different for us this week. I've got a special guest in the house with me today, and it's somebody that is near and dear to my heart. My oldest child, my only daughter, my teenager, Miss Jovi Williams. How are you doing, Jovi?
I'm doing pretty good.
Are you excited to be here on Pearls and Swine on Good News You Can Use?
Oh, yes.
You listen to us frequently. You're probably one of our most faithful listeners, would you say?
Absolutely.
Yeah, I thought so. Well, I'm glad that you're hanging out with us this week. The other guys, they're on vacation still and hanging out and doing stuff. So I thought it would be kind of fun since we are a little bit, I don't know, maybe more than halfway through summer here. You're starting to see the back to school ads and stuff and all the changeover for school supplies in the store. So I thought it'd be fun just to have you come in and hang out with us and get your perspective on what it's like to be a young teenager. You're going into high school this year and just kind of get your take on what summer's like for kids your age. How you connect with God over the summer, and just some of the challenges and maybe struggles or fears or concerns that you have going into high school. So we'll start with summer. What's your favorite either memory, your favorite summer memory, or the favorite thing that you've done this summer so far?
I think one of my favorite things was going to Wisconsin and just being able to hang out with our family and help them get yard work done and stuff like that.
You love Wisconsin, hey?
Yes.
All right. I like to hear that. You like to hang out with family. Maybe you can tell everybody a little bit more about who you have down there.
So my great-grandparents live at what we call a farm down there, and we really just get to go down there and hang out with them, talk to them.
Your great-grandparents are in their late 80s, early 90s, and one of the things that I notice when you guys are down there is that you get to sit around and talk with them, and I think that's super cool for me as being their, you know, grandchild, their favorite grandchild, I might add. But the thing that I think is really cool of when you guys, you and your younger brothers are sitting around, like you're not just talking about the weather or talking about this thing. You're actually like being mentored by them, whether you know that's going on or not. But they're sharing their faith with you. They're sharing their life with you about how things were for them, the struggles and the challenges even that they faced growing up.
Yeah, I do realize that.
That part is cool. Definitely being able to hang out generationally is fun because we spend a lot of time playing wiffle ball and stuff too and whatnot. But so now that you're two-thirds of the way through your summer, what has been some good ways for you to connect with God over the summer? How have you kind of rested with him and maybe recharged with him?
So I've been working through the New Testament in my Bible and just really tried to dive deeper into his word. And really just like being outside and in his creation, that helps a lot too. And just seeing like the beautiful things that he's created.
I think you and I are very similar in that because we like the nature, the outdoors things. And especially you were talking about waterfalls a little bit earlier. And I know that you love to see waterfalls in any type of, you know, creek, stream, river, pretty much lake is kind of your jam. What is it about the creation that makes you think about God when you're in it?
Well, sometimes if we're thinking specifically about water, like just how big like an ocean or a lake can be, like just kind of takes your breath away. And that's just kind of how it feels like when you think about God, like he is so much bigger than this. He created this.
And that's pretty awesome. So now you've kind of been getting into the groove of more school stuff with things going on with sports, especially lots of open gyms this summer. Now that you're going into high school, for somebody your age, how do you balance that well?
Sports and school?
Well, just the life of it right now. Like, is it a struggle even? Do you feel like there are lots of demands for kids your age for their time?
Especially for sports, yeah. Time is a demanding thing. I have open gym 4 days a week for volleyball and basketball.
That is a lot. Do you feel like is burnout levels at times? Or how do you stay afloat?
I don't know. Sometimes you just got to take a couple days off, but you really just got to go to those.
How do you manage that? How do you manage the stress of it, the pressure for the pulling at you for time?
Sometimes I'm not the best at balancing it all, but it really just helps. Like if I'm just feeling crazy and stressed and worried about sports and school, I just really need to take a deep breath and just like pray and like just like have a moment with God just to ask him to bring me some peace. And
that's awesome. You obviously have a mom and a dad that, I mean, I'm your dad. So what are some things that parents can do to help kids when they start to feel stressed or anxious?
Well, so sometimes it's good to just have someone to talk to, just get all of your worries out.
Like when you're talking with them, is it just you want to get the words out? Are you looking for advice? Are you looking for a solution or a fix?
A solution would be really nice, but sometimes it does just help to talk about it. Even if you're just like sitting there in silence, like you just need somebody to be there for you.
You know, this life that we're in, it can be busy. It can be all consuming. It can be crazy. But God's word promises us that it's going to be a fight. And that makes me think of the passage out of Timothy 6, verse 12. Fight the good fight of the faith, take hold of the eternal life. And God's saying that our faith is going to be challenged. You know, we talk about at home, we talk about here at Evangel, when you give your life to Jesus and you choose to follow him, we're not getting on that luxury cruise ship for easy sailing for the rest of our life. God's word tells us that we're picking up our cross and we're carrying it as we follow Jesus. And that sounds like hard work. That sounds like tough work. So when you, as a believer in a public school setting, we don't have to call out where you're at, but what are some of the challenges that you or your friends or people that you know of that are followers of Jesus face as young people?
Well, I feel like definitely like not fitting in sometimes when just because you're different, trying to do the right thing, some people don't understand that, I guess. Being a Christian, like, the world's going to tell you one thing, but God tells you another thing, and you really just need to pick what God tells you to do, even if it's hard, because it's going to be when you're at school.
Mm-hmm. And it's probably not just at school that you face some of those challenges, those difficulties. How hard is it to actually live out your faith at school? Like, if you're going to pray before you eat or something, are you facing ridicule? Are people looking at you and snickering, or are people pretty respectful?
So in my friend group, I feel like people are pretty respectful. I do try to live out my faith when I'm at school and just anywhere in general.
What are some maybe tips that you can share with our listeners? Like, what makes it easier to live out your faith?
Well, knowing that God is right there with you, that is very encouraging, and like just praying to him throughout the day to like help you do that.
And being old and crusty like I am as your dad, I can tell you one of the best things, and something that your mom and I pray for you often, is that you would find good friends that love Jesus and that love you. Because I think one of the best defenses that we can have for our faith and just our life, for us to be you know, intentional in our walk with God, is to have people that'll support you. Mm-hmm. People that you can hang out with, people that you can trust, people that you can, we'd call this fellowship within the church, and kind of do side-by-side life things together.
Yes.
How do you work at being an influence in your school?
Well, I really just have to make sure that I'm being the influence, not being the one that's being influenced.
Mm. And how does that work?
Well, you really just gotta follow what God tells you to do and not what the world tells you to do.
That reminds me of a passage out of James where he's talking about, submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil and he will flee from you. Draw near to God and he will draw near to you. You know, if we stick ourselves in the mud, we're not going to be surprised when we come out of the mud puddle muddy, are we? But if we're trying to steer clear of some of that stuff, and it's not easy, it's a challenge, right? Like, to keep your nose clean, to not get sucked into some of the things that are kind of the commonplace, kind of the majority of kids your age seem to be doing. That can be hard. You've been working through the New Testament this summer, immersing yourself in God's word and spending time there and studying it like you have been. Does that change your heart or equip you to handle things any different?
Yeah, there's a lot of things in the Bible that can help you with that.
There are lots of things that are bombarding culture, society as a whole, that are not always good. You know, media is a big one, and social media is probably a big one for kids your age. What are some of the struggles or the challenges that you've noticed or experienced with social media and cell phones and that kind of stuff?
Basically, just like they're telling you what you have to look like and do and say to be cool or fit in. It's basically like influencing everybody.
And as a young believer, a young person who believes, not necessarily a young believer, how do you combat that? Because you're right. So many things portray how you should look. And especially, I think that's as hard for young gals like yourself.
Yeah, that's a big thing, I feel like. And I do worry about that, especially during school. I struggle with that, about looks and clothes and everything like that.
Yeah, so, you know, our image, we want people to see us a certain way. And I don't think that, you know, wanting to look nice and wear nice clothes, I don't think that's a bad thing. But you can take a good thing and then you make it an ultimate thing and then it becomes a really, really bad thing, right? What are some things that you do personally to fight against that or people in your peer group?
Well, kind of just like being the trendsetter, like you don't have to do what everybody else tells you to do. Just
be you?
Mm-hmm.
So, and we talk about this a lot in youth group, and we talk about this a ton at home. Where do you find your identity?
In Christ.
Well, how does Christ define you? Like, can you unpack that a little bit for me?
Well, really just being a child of God.
No, you're right. That's totally, you're good. Yeah, being a child of God. So when we put our faith in Jesus, right, this is what I think that you're saying. When we put our faith in Jesus, some things happen and change, right? God's word tells us that the old is dead, right? The old passes away and the new comes. And so we as believers then, are once God sees us as dead in our transgressions, muddied in our sin and in our shame, and when we accept Christ, and this is a gift that's offered for everybody, and we talk about this a lot on our podcast too. When we change, God looks at us differently, right? His word tells us that we're blood-bought what? I think you probably know this.
Sons and daughters.
Yeah, blood-bought sons and daughters. And I mean, it's easy. It's probably easy for me to sit here and talk about that and say that's where you need to find your identity. That's where you need to rest in that place. Are you able to do that, or are you able to see friends do that at school?
I feel like that is a challenge because most people are just so worried about fitting in and just being like everybody else.
So there's a lot of studies about social media and electronic mobile devices. Do you see firsthand, since you're down in the trenches in the schools, does that really play a big part in the lives of young people today? Do you see that as damaging?
Yeah, I feel like I do.
One of the studies, and I'm asking because one of the studies that I recently read talked about social media and the way that it actually brings people's self-esteem down. Their self-worth down, it increases depression, and it's through the roof through people in your age category, you know, 18 and under. So that's pretty scary. What are your thoughts on that? Do you see that kind of stuff in real life?
Yeah, and a lot of kids that happens because everybody online looks perfect and they wear the perfect stuff, and like you just want to be just like that.
Yeah, and it's hard. You want to fit in, right?
Yeah.
What about the time that it takes away from face-to-face interactions?
Yeah, that definitely does, because if you're just on your phone doing stuff, you don't really realize what's going on around you, and you're not talking to other people while you're on your phone. You can't do two things at once.
Yeah. So there are challenges. Like our younger generation, our youth are facing a plethora more of challenges that I think than even my generation of growing up in the 80s and the 90s. Faced, and it's hard. You throw in all the technology, all the advances in that are supposed to be good, but we see a lot of the downside of those things. And those studies, you can hop online and find those all over the place and just see the detriment of a lot of the social media and the images that's portrayed and the pressure that it puts on young people, especially to look, act, and be a certain way. With all those things that you face and trying to fit in and figuring out your identity, obviously, you've got parents that love you. You've got a support of people at church that love Jesus and love you. You've got friends in the church. What do you need from them as far as support as a young person to just do life, just to, you know, to be a support system? What does that look like for young people?
I mean, so really just having a good group of friends that you know you can trust. And if you are like struggling and you need help with something, you just got to know that you can go to them for help. And just like really like surrounding yourself with good Christian people, like that's going to influence you to make better choices.
How about from adults? Like what do you need from us, mom and dads, grandmas and grandpas, primary caregivers, whatever you want to call them? What do kids need from those groups of people?
I mean, really, like they set great examples for us, and just to like have them in our lives, just being able to talk to them and get advice from them is helpful too.
So even though a lot of teenagers, it seems like, don't want to talk, mom and dad are stupid and they're lame, do kids really still want to have those adults?
Yeah. I personally like might act like that sometimes, but I really just want someone to talk to.
So even though, this is what I'm hearing you say, as a teenager, and I'm your dad, like even though you might roll your eyes and be like, oh, dad, or, you know, you might get frustrated with whatever the situation is, and really your nonverbal cues are saying you don't want to hear what we have to say, but you really do.
Mm-hmm.
That's interesting. And it's recorded. So with all the social media stuff, all the pressure for time on you guys as young students, young youth, student athletes, all of those things, what are some of the things that worry kids your age the most?
Looks is definitely a big one. Fitting in. You don't want to be the person that stands out and is different from everyone else.
So all the stuff that you're feeling, the pressure from the social media things, is just feeding in right into that nerve.
Mm-hmm.
Do you see a lot of people in your age group worried about this stuff, concerned about it, anxiety?
Yes.
Depression? Like all this, so all the statistics on the reports that I read, are those true?
Yeah.
That's kind of scary, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Well, for you, what are ways that you combat worry?
Sometimes spending time in the Bible and in prayer, but also like sometimes if I'm really stressed, you just got to take a deep breath, maybe just like go on a walk, go outside, disconnect from everything for a minute and just take a deep breath.
And sometimes that's harder to do than other times, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, sometimes you just need to burn off some steam. Sometimes you do need somebody to talk to. Sometimes you just need some quiet time. I think you can probably attest to this. Running around so much and going here and going there gets tiring, right?
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes, you know, just all the running, all the worry, all the pressure that's on you, you just do need to stop and take a break. And I've said this before, and you're probably going to roll your eyes like, oh, dad. But sometimes the most spiritual thing that you can do is to take a nap. Sometimes you just need to stop the conversation and go to bed, right?
Is that? Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I'm getting the, mm-hmm. I mean, you think about just how God's economy works and the things that he tells us. He talks about in Philippians 4 to rejoice in the Lord always. And he's talking about giving thanksgiving and all this stuff. But he also says, don't be anxious about anything, but in every situation by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. And I think that's one of those places where if you're not connected to God in a relationship through Jesus, with Jesus to him, like the world's hard and it's getting harder. And the things that are thrown at young people that are grabbing for your time and your attention and really trying to impress upon you your identity in them, it's tiring, it's exhausting, it's depressing. It's all those things that we see in those reports and those statistics. But that passage continues to go on. It says, finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. And you look at scripture just throughout its totality, like God is pure, God is right, God is noble, God is just, God is lovely, God is admirable, he's praiseworthy. If we focus those things, our minds, worries, distractions, all that stuff, if we turn them to God and towards God and rest on him, he wants to fill us with peace. And we talked about this with finding your identity. If you're trying to struggle with who am I physically, emotionally, gender role wise, all these things that we're seeing in the world just getting chucked around and flipped upside down, it's chaotic. And God is the place that brings order to chaos. He's the one that created everything from the beginning out of nothing. And as a God of order, he wants to give you his peace. And his peace comes to us only through his son, Jesus Christ. And that's where your true identity is. We are created. People, human beings are created in the image of God. He created us. It tells us that in Genesis. But to be a child of God, you need to come to know Jesus. You need to accept that free gift of grace and mercy and love that God offers through what Jesus did. He came to earth as God in the flesh. He went to the cross. He suffered to pay for our sins when he himself had no sin. He was the perfect man, the perfect, pure, unblemished lamb that was sacrificed once and for all to make a payment for sin. And when you put your faith and your hope and your trust into Jesus, Jesus bridges that gap. He pays that price to be connected back into a right relationship with God. And so if you're struggling with worry, if you're if any of our listeners out there are young to the older end of the spectrum, man, God has a plan for you. God has a purpose for you, and God has an identity for you. And he wants you to be his blood-bought son or daughter. That's why Jesus came. That's why Jesus suffered. That's why Jesus died, so that we could be connected back to God. And that is good news that all of us can use. So, Jovi, thank you so much for hanging out with us this week. I know, you know, this is a big ask of you, and I think you did awesome. So I really appreciate that, and I'm sure our listeners did as well. This has been Pearls and Swine, an Evangel Community Church podcast. If you guys liked our topic this week or have some other ideas for us, we'd love to hear from you. Or if you just have some prayer requests, man, we'd be love to be praying for you as well. You can send those to me, travis@evangelup.org. You can always catch up with our Pearls and Swine podcast on your Apple or Google devices. You just search out Evangel Houghton Podcast, or you can go to Evangel's website, evangelup.org. That's all we have for you this week. We love you, and we'll see you next time.